And we are joined now from Waikato University by Professor Al Gillespie. Al, good to talk to you again. How are you?
Hey, Sean, I'm well. How are you?
Not bad. Look, I thought it probably a good time to have a look at a few things happening around the world, look past fireworks bans and other such things. Look, first up, can we talk India-Pakistan? Firstly, India launches a strike against a militant camp. Now Pakistan has shot down some Indian aircraft.
The most dangerous part of the world right now. It's an unprecedented situation. We're in uncharted waters because you've got two nuclear powers going nose to nose right now, and we have to keep our fingers crossed that they can start to calm down.
All right. What will it take to calm them down? And is anyone there playing the honest broker or trying to de-escalate the situation?
In terms of the honest broker, India is pretty autonomous. With regards to Pakistan, China has a certain amount of control. But you're getting a lot of statements coming out of England and America for everyone to sort of like, you know, take a step back. We can work our way through this. In terms of the short term, what you have to watch from here is whether there is a change in the proportionality of the response. So if it stays tit for tat, then it's containable. But if it goes beyond the current numbers or onto different types of platforms, it could get out of hand.
All right. So you're saying that a strike on a militant base, shooting down a couple of jets, is a proportionate response?
At the moment, that's right. I'm saying, but if it escalates beyond that, if it escalates beyond one plane going across the border, then things could spiral quite quickly. But everyone recognises the threat here, and both India and Pakistan are making good statements. The larger problem, though, is not what happens now, what happens in the future, because Pakistan is home to at least half a dozen terror groups, which may or may not be state-sponsored. And unless they're controlled, this is going to be a recurring problem. For most of the 21st century, India has turned a blind eye to incursions onto its territory and some very terrible acts. But now India's saying, no more, we're going to strike back.
Well, all right. Meantime, we have got Donald Trump cozying up to North, meeting with the North Koreans again. What is this in aid of, apart from, I guess, a photo op and Donald Trump taking advice on how to control the news media?
It's great photo opportunity. It's fantastic pageantry. But the idea is that when they had the Singapore summit, they kind of everything calmed down. But there was no mechanism. There's no verification. There's no monitoring of the promise of denuclearization. We've been here before in 1992, 1994, 2005. Each time there is a promise that there is going to be denuclearization and there's going to be verification of it. We're hoping now that Trump can pull out that treaty that says this is how we know that they're not cheating.
All right. So do we expect that out of this summit? Or
I'm skeptical. I personally think North Korea has a pretty bad history in this area. And it's unlikely that it's taken them 20 years to get the bomb. And now they've got about 60 of these things, some of them 10 times bigger than Hiroshima. And I don't think after 20 years they're going to give them up lightly. If they did give them up lightly, it would require things like America removing all their troops from North Korea, from South Korea.
Which ain't going to happen.
I think it's unlikely.
Yeah. Our meantime at home, and look, I've got to admit, I have had for the last couple of months Trump outrage fatigue syndrome. So I haven't been living day by day, minute by minute, what's happening in US politics or what the latest outrage Trump's committed is. But his former lawyer has piqued my interest. First, explain to the uninitiated or perhaps hitherto uninterested or fatigued like me, who's the former lawyer and where is he testifying?
So that's Cohen, and he's testifying in the Senate before a committee right now. But the problem with Cohen's testimony is that he's already been caught for lying, and so a lot of people are saying, well, you can't trust him. Having said that, there's three potential charges that could lead to impeachment. There's abuse of power, there's conflict of interest, and there's collusion. Cohen has said that there was a conflict of interest, and he's also said that there was collusion with Russia to steal the election. None of this means anything unless it's verified by Mueller, which is a report coming out in the next couple of weeks, but then critically, whether the American Congress says it is a crime, because to have him impeached is a political crime, not a legal crime, and for that you need two-thirds of both bodies. Hmm. Short point, it's unlikely that he's going to be tried for impeachment within the next 2 years, even if they do find these things out.
Yeah. And even if you are, well, if you are tried and found guilty of impeachment, what happens?
Well, you would, in theory, you'd be kicked out of the White House. Whenever it's got close before, like with Nixon, and it was clear that the dominoes were going to fall, that they jump before they're pushed. But I don't think Mr. Trump is that kind of character.
All right. So really, apart from more rhetoric and more hot takes, does this change anything, what Cohen said, Michael Cohen said?
I see what Cohen said as kind of like an entree, that the main meal is going to be the Mueller report, which should be out in a couple of weeks, because that's where you're going to find out whether there was an abuse of power, whether there was a conflict of interest, and most importantly, whether there was collusion. Cohen saying that there was at least two of those things, and those things are sufficient to try for impeachment, but he's discredited. Mm. And then, as I say, it's not whether someone says it, it's what happens within the American Congress, and that's a political question. And even though Trump has lost partly of the control of the Congress in the last election, I still don't think you'd get a two-thirds majority to convict him.
All right. Al, look, just a bit little closer to home. Not so many headlines this week about the China issue, and a rather confusing state of affairs. I'm finding it hard to figure out exactly what our government's position on this, and indeed the British government's position on having Huawei involved in infrastructure or electronic infrastructure construction in New Zealand. Has this gone off the boil? Is the supposed trade war with China or diplomatic war with China in abeyance?
It seems to have slipped to one side, and whether it comes back or not, I'm not sure. The one thing I'm surprised about here is that you have one of the most valuable spy networks in the world, the Five Eyes, having a public debate about whether they can or cannot use the same technology. To me, this is something that the five of them should go behind closed doors and actually make up their mind. It shouldn't be played out in public.
All right. How do you think the Chinese are feeling about New Zealand right now?
I think we've got to the front of a debate which has exposed us. And I imagine if they're looking for a weak link in the chain, of which they put pressure on, it would be on New Zealand.
Okay, so they could pressure us. What do you think we should do? Should we say, hey, Huawei, come and bid and build if you want to?
I think the Five Eyes network, the five countries working together, because we do share a lot of intelligence and information, need to speak with one common voice. And I think the only ones who can really answer whether this technology is or is not safe is the Americans and the Brits. Yeah. And right now, even they are divided. But
well, I can tell you what, Al, I talked to someone. I've had friends who've worked for Huawei. Every piece of critical electronic infrastructure they put into New Zealand first goes through the British Electronic Surveillance Agency and is certified by them.
Yes.
Every single piece of technology. So how can it be that bad?
Well, I don't know. I'm not an expert on technology, but I do believe that there's enough experts within these five countries to come up with one voice. And then that should be the voice. It shouldn't be one country saying we're going to adopt it and another country not saying we're going to adopt it. We're all on the same team in this one. Right now, if one country speaks separately, they will be picked on.
Yeah. Al, good talking to you. Good bringing myself up to date with the world. And we will keep an eye on India and Pakistan. I thank you very much indeed for your time. Professor Al Gillespie of Waikato University. India, Pakistan. So India bombs a militant camp. Pakistan shoots down a couple of Indian jets. Oh, both have got the nukes. Not so good.